Now we'll move to item number four, report and possible discussion on annual actuarial evaluation by Brian Pendleton, Swatz, and McAllister. John Hopps.
I'm going to make this presentation.
Okay.
Brian Pendleton is our actuary. I will make point, we are in the process of reviewing proposals. We received RFPs and went out for RFPs for actuarial services and reviewing those proposals right now. We'll be hopefully making a decision this week or next week as to probably will be a new actuary that we'll select for the future. Brian Pendleton, this was their third year and they prepared this particular report. The major thing, a major significant thing, and we've hit upon it already, is because of the investment performance, which hasn't of course met, the actuarial assumption for investment performance is 7.5%. That's the target and has been the target for this plan for a number of years back before I was here. Obviously in this last period, and frankly in the period we're in right now, we're not going to hit that, didn't hit that target. Prior to that, we did it in some years. But because of that, we had a surplus of assets before over the accumulated, for the present value of accumulated benefits. But as a result of really sort of a poor investment performance, or certainly below the target last year, now we have, well, you might notice it's actually the market value of the assets is almost exactly the same as the present value of accumulated benefits. So that's not terrible, but we don't have the surplus we had before. Because the 7.5% would have, if we had earned 7.5%, it would have generated about $1,700,000 in earnings for this plan for this year they're reporting on. Instead, we only earned about $350,000. Bid had reported on it was $400,000+, and that's right, but if you net the fees out of it, it goes back to about $307,000. So it was less than that. And so basically as a result, the actuarial requirement for funding is really a de minimis number. It's $13,654, but it is a positive number, so we'll make that contribution out of our budget this next year. But just to make that, but our hope is, of course, that we won't have to. The idea is we froze this plan and we moved to the other plan with TCDRS, the Texas County District Retirement System. And of course, we hope that we'll have a minimal amount. It looks like probably next year, just to be honest, we'll probably have some contribution required next year in this plan, and then hopefully the market will begin to recover and we'll be in a little bit better shape. But we certainly are committed to keeping it actuarially sound, and it certainly is right now.
John, is it true, if I may, that we are, is the VRA guaranteeing that 7.5% in essence?
No.
Which we will fund the 7.5%?
Well, we guarantee this is just a defined benefit aspect. So we guarantee the benefits to the employees based, of course, on them earning credit years of service and things like that. So they're guaranteed to receive their annuities as they earn them. And so really, it's this. I look at this, the 20-something million dollars that we have in this plan, $23 million in the DB side of this plan is really VRA assets that we have to pay future benefits. So we're just obligated to pay the benefits. So as well as we can manage it and grow it,
Actuary is important, though, so we can have the funding to do it.
Absolutely.
With the 371 participants.
That's right.
But the reason that it was frozen is because of after Enron and WorldCom and all those things, the federal government says, now here's what you have to do to guarantee it. And to maintain that is difficult.
Well, we chose to freeze this plan really because we felt like that the TCDRS plan out of Austin provided a better, more transparent plan with better services and stuff to our employees, and actually even provided us a better funding mechanism than this individual plan provides and stuff. Plus, we also had a difference. This plan has morphed over the years and actually had two different plan structures within it, if some of y'all remember. We had employees that were only in had a DB element to it, and then the newer employees had both a DB and a DC element. And we felt like that inconsistency was a real problem going forward in the agency, and we wanted to get to, at least going forward, to a plan that was more standardized. So we chose to freeze it, at least stop that inconsistency from growing over time. And obviously now we're certainly left with dealing with this plan, which is fine, and we're obligated to pay the contribution.
Is the new one a defined benefit?
It is a defined, it's the...
It's a hybrid defined benefit.
It is. The Texas County District Retirement has several hundred participants, which are primarily counties and then districts and things like us, that are members in it. It's a $15 billion plan, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. But it is, we make a particular contribution that they determine actuarially every year. The employees put in 6% of their pay out of their paycheck every pay period, and then the Brazos River Authority matches that, but they match it on an actuarial basis. It's actually a 2-to-1 match, which you think was 12%, but we really don't put in 12%, we only put in...
Because of the new requirements, they actually have to almost overfund it. And because of that, they've gone away from it, and I didn't know if that's what we had done.
It is really a defined contribution plan in that it defines the obligation that the VRA has is really defined from that standpoint. The benefits will be paid as an annuity ultimately to the employees. I mean, they actually have a choice. They can get some of it in a lump sum, and they can get some of it in an annuitized form based on the rules and plans.
We have invited the representatives from TCDRS to come to the October meeting, knowing we had so much going on this meeting. We've invited them to come and visit with you in the October meeting to give you a little idea of how their plan works, so this committee has understanding on that plan.
Great. And they have real sophisticated information that's available online to the employees, much better than we can provide in this sort of customized one type of process.
Good. Thank you, John. Any other questions for John? Okay, if not, then that leads to item number 5, which is an adjournment, so I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn. There's no other questions or comments. I want to thank the guests for coming. Appreciate you guys being here and taking your time. Chris, motion? Is there a second? Scott, a second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.